May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you remember when? I met a dear friend during the week who I met 30 years ago this year. She and I are two of five friends who've been having adventures together since then. And like any old friends, we have lots of shared memories, good ones and sad ones. Do you remember when? These shared experiences and memories are part of our identity as a group, and they're ours. No matter how much we've shared with partners, children, and now grandchildren, they can only remember what we told them. They don't know of what it felt like. They remember our stories because they're part of what makes us us, what makes me me. But it's only the five of us who can say to each other, do you remember when? In our first reading from Nehemiah, we heard shared memories from God's people, the Jews. For years, their book of the law, part of their identity as a people, had been lost. They'd done their best to remember what was there, but it just wasn't the same. The law, the gracious gift from God about how to live so that it would go well with them, been lost. But then it was found. It was found when Jerusalem was being rebuilt, and the king, Hilkiah, reading from it, called the people back to their purpose. The stories in the first and second books of the Kings and first and second Chronicles continue in Ezra and Nehemiah, which we heard this morning. Those stories of lost and found. And so now we read this morning about Ezra, the scribe, reading the law for all the men and women who were able to understand, and the interpretation. Because remembering matters, it really does. Remembering preserves identity. Remembering is part of how we pass on identity to the next generations. When Christians come together for worship, we always remember. We remember our scriptures as we hear them again. We remember especially those who've gone before us, our ancestors in the faith. And at a celebration of the Eucharist, we remember Jesus, who we believe to be Messiah. We remember his example of a life of love and service, as he demonstrated the path to true leadership and triumph is that through life lived in service of others. And so our scripture readings this morning invite us to do some collective remembering, and then having remembered, to put things into action. St. Paul, who wrote the letter we heard in our second reading, was a Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he called himself, zealous as to the law. On Friday last week, we remembered his encounter with the risen Christ while he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the followers of the way. But then this Hebrew of the Hebrew was commissioned and empowered by God to take the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles, to those who weren't Jews. St. Paul is such an important person in the history of the Church of Christ. And indeed, in some parts of the church, St. Paul's words are held in higher regard than those of Jesus's. That's for another sermon. But in this letter to the church in Corinth, Paul wrote an astonishing thing, this Hebrew of the Hebrews. They are all one, Jew and Gentile, slave and free. And in other letters, he adds male and female. All are added to the universal calling of God. The church in Corinth was extremely diverse. It was a cosmopolitan commercial center, people all over the known world coming together. The church had grown quickly. And the same differences people experienced outside their times and places of fellowship were being experienced inside their times of fellowship, inside their church. And they hadn't yet really learned that everyone needs everyone. Our gospel reading contains echoes of both the other readings, as Luke recounts what he'd heard of Jesus in Nazareth. Jesus' custom was to go to synagogue on the Sabbath. His custom, his habit, his remembering. He will have grown up knowing the crucial importance of that remembering for identity. And when the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, he looked for the place that he wanted. He'd obviously read it and heard it before many times. He was familiar with it. He knew what he wanted to read to the people. And as he sat down to teach, he was inspired in his recognition that the task he remembered through the prophet Isaiah was his task and would be his legacy. It was what he was bringing to all people, not just Jews, but all people. And of all the evangelists who've given their names to the gospel, Luke is the most universal. Luke is very keen to communicate that the good news of Jesus, that what he accomplished in his life and death and resurrection, was for everyone, not just Jews, not just Gentiles, but for everyone. Each person made their own promises. Each person was the one who had to continue what they were given by God to do. God had formed a covenant with Abraham and Sarah and made them a threefold promise that they would have a land of their own, that this childless couple would have descendants numbered beyond the sand on the seashore, and that all people would be blessed through them, all people. And this covenant was sealed with circumcision on Abraham's part. And for us as Christian people, we must always remember that promise made to Abraham, that all people would be blessed through him and he and Sarah's descendants, the Jews. St. Paul remembered that. And so he wrote to the Corinthians that there's no distinction between people, no gradation of worth. We need each other. No one can say to anyone else, I have no need of you. I'm not going to use the bra word this morning, but perhaps you're thinking something about the bra word when we think of what we have need of. You might be making those links yourself. Today is Holocaust Memorial Day, always kept on the 27th of January because that's the anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz-Birkenau, the largest of the Nazi death camps. And just as we as Christians remember the promise made to Abraham, the Exodus, the Passover, the birth of Jesus, so we remember the 6 million Jews and the murder of thousands of people because they were disabled or gay or Freemasons or Jehovah's Witnesses and many others besides. When we as Christians remember any aspect of our faith tradition, we also remember the systematic murder of Jewish people in the 20th century. We need to acknowledge that the whole church was slow to act. Individual Christians did show great courage and selflessness, but the institutional church was very slow to act in Germany and here and beyond. And many of those who were carried out a part in the final solution would have called themselves Christians. We remember the Holocaust, not in the way we remember the Passover or the blessing to Sarah and Abraham, but we remember it so it won't happen again. We remember because our scriptures demand that the work toward that blessing which was promised to Abraham and Sarah, and that extraordinary statement of St. Paul, that the promises of God are for everyone without exception, with no bias towards or against anyone because of who they are. And we have to acknowledge that very sadly, since the darkness of the Holocaust, there have been more genocides in our world. In the 70s, in Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge mounted an extermination of ethnic minority groups, of anyone demonstrating any Western influence, for example, wearing glasses. One Khmer slogan was, "To spare you is no profit, to destroy you is no loss." Can't get much of a contrast between that and St. Paul's words, "We cannot say to anyone, we have no need of you." In Rwanda in 1994, 1 million Tutsis and moderate Hutus were murdered by their neighbors. People who had lived peacefully with each other, married into each other's families, were stirred into hand-to-hand combat in the devilishly mistaken notion that difference in tribal heritage made a difference in value. Bosnia and Darfur, other places besides, people declared to be of less value because of their identity. So then, do we remember these and other genocides in order simply to beat ourselves up? I don't think so. I think we remember because it will help us work towards it not happening again. And where it does threaten to rise again in our world, it might be identified and called out quickly for what it truly is and dealt with as best can be. The diminution of any person affects all of us. The central facet of genocide is that neighbor turned on neighbor. Suddenly, diversity was a threat. Fear reigned, hatred took hold. Collective memory of community with diversity was lost. In our world today, there's plenty of judgments made about people's worth based on a whole host of things. But ethnic heritage is certainly on that list. Today, on Holocaust Memorial Day, but every day, may God challenge us where we fall short of affording equal worth and dignity to everyone. May God challenge us, may through God, through us, God challenge those in places of power and authority and influence to consider carefully how they'll promote and protect the equal worth and dignity of all people. And may God, through us and others of goodwill of all faiths and none, ensure that genocide truly becomes part of the past. Remembering makes us who we are. May our remembering be universal, generous, challenging prejudice and fear, and be for the purpose of the work Jesus gave us to do, to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and to proclaim the day of the Lord's favor.